cross. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles in your Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, and we're going to look at chapters 14, 15, and 16. So 2 Chronicles, chapters 14, 15, and 16. And tonight, we come to the next one of the kings of Judah that we're going to be looking at. His name is Asa, and our message for tonight has this question as its title: Will you finish strong? Her name was Elizabeth. She was a young mother. She had one son. His name was John. He was named after his father, John Sr. John Sr. was stern and distant and often absent, but Elizabeth was caring and gentle and determined that her son John would start in the right direction. Now, she sensed that he was unusually bright, and so Elizabeth would spend hours teaching him every day. By the time he was 4 years old, John could read. In fact, later on, he said other than some hard names, he could read just about anything when he was 4 years old. Elizabeth had John reading all kinds of books. He read the Bible and poems and hymns and even theology books. Her hope and her dream was that John would become either a pastor or a missionary or serve the Lord in some way. And then, at age 27, when John was not quite 7 years old, Elizabeth died. She had been ill for some time. That was one of the reasons that she had poured herself into John so fervently. But she died and left behind a boy not yet 7 years old. John's father remarried quickly. John's stepmother was very attentive at first, and then she had children of her own and lost interest in John. He became distant. He became rebellious. He became a troublemaker. They sent him to boarding school for a few years, but after a few years there, at age 11, John ran off to sea, and he became a violent, angry, and abusive man. What had been a great start turned into a sad and sinful life. Tonight I would say this to you: it's great to start well. It's better to finish well. Tonight we're going to talk about King Asa of Judah, and we're asking this question, and I'm asking you, will you finish strong? Now I want you to look in your Bible with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, beginning in verse 1 of the text. And this was a seminal moment in the life of King Asa. I want you to stand with me as we read God's Word together. This is right after Asa has relied on God for victory in battle against his enemy. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Look again at verse 2. "The Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. Everyone who seeks the Lord will find him. If you forsake him, he will forsake you." Every day of our lives, as long as we live, we have a simple choice to make each day. Will we seek the Lord or will we forsake the Lord? We're going to see what Asa did as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what we've heard, what we've experienced in our hearts this evening. And God, thank you for the way you have worked here at Quail Springs throughout the day today. We love you and praise you. We thank you for your hand at work upon this, your church. Now, Lord, I ask that you would move me out of the way, and Lord, that you would speak. Speak a word that would encourage and strengthen your people. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. Well, just to remind you, with each one of these messages, as we talk about kings and thrones, we're dividing the message into four big parts. We start off by talking about the history, and then we talk about the story, what happened with the king. Then we talk about the connection to our lives, and then finally, we talk about how this relates to Jesus Christ and his cross. We'll start with the history. And just to set the table for what was happening with the history, look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1. There the Bible describes what happened with Asa's father, Abijah. The Bible says in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 14, Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his place. In his days, the land had rest for 10 years. Now, the Bible says that Asa's reign began with 10 years of rest, 10 years of peace. Asa was the third king of the southern kingdom of Judah. The first king, you'll remember, was Rehoboam. He caused the kingdom to be divided. And then after him followed Abijah, Asa's father. Abijah ruled very briefly from 913 to 910 B.C. And then Asa ruled for 41 years, from 910 to 869 B.C. When he became king over Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, the kingdom that he inherited was shrunken and vulnerable. And he ruled over the kingdom of Judah while there were a number of different kings in Israel, in the northern kingdom. And every one of these kings in Israel were wicked. And so during his reign in Judah, Jeroboam, the first king of the divided kingdom of Israel, and then Nadab, and then Baasha, and then Elah, and then Zimri, and then Omri, and then Ahab, who was by far the most wicked king over the people of Israel, all of these northern kings reigned. And so that sort of gives you context for what's going on. He reigned a long, long time in Judah, and during that time there were many wicked kings in Israel. Now let's move into the story. All right, now tonight I've done something that I would never advise any preacher to do. I've got 10 points that I want to give you tonight in this message. In fact, I've got 10 points in this one section, so I'm going to be moving pretty quickly. I want to talk to you about 10 things that Asa did in his reign. And so if you'll just write them down as we go along, 10 things that Asa did in his reign, and each thing just has one word. First of all, Asa removed. Asa removed. He removed the places of idolatry in Judah. Now, Asa's name literally means doctor or healing. And that's very fitting because early in his reign, Asa worked to perform surgery in the land of Judah. He helped to bring healing to the land. He's the first of the kings of Judah in whose reign there was at least the beginnings of a spiritual revival. The Bible shows us that immediately upon ascending to the throne, Asa instituted a series of reforms to drive out idolatry and pagan practices that had infected Judaism and the people of Judah. So look in verse 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. The Bible says, "And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim." We'll talk more about that in a moment. "And commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandments." And so the Bible shows that Asa took his spiritual leadership very seriously. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord and to keep God's law. And he took down all of the pagan foreign altars that had been built up, probably in Solomon's reign, even in the land of Judah. Look down in verse 5 of the text. The Bible says, "He also took out all of the city, he took out of all of the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him." The last time that I was in Israel, we had the opportunity to visit one of the high places. It's a tell there. A tell is a man-made mountain where they built one civilization on top of the other until it forms a mountain. But there was a high place there in the southern part of Israel, in the area that would have been Judah during the time of Asa. And when we saw this place, it was interesting to me. This high place was not a place of idolatry. It was actually a place that had been built up to look like the temple. That it was devoted to worshiping the right God, but they were worshiping the right God in the wrong place. There was only one place where God commanded that he be worshiped. Where was that? In Jerusalem. And so some of the high places were devoted to the worship of God, but they were in the wrong places. And so he took down all of these high places. He took down the incense altars. These incense altars may have been shrines of some kind. He did everything he could to remove idolatry and false worship from the land of Judah. By removing these false places of worship, Asa brought peace to the kingdom of Judah. And so Asa, the Bible says, removed. Secondly, Asa rebuilt. Asa rebuilt. Look in verse 6 of the text. The Bible shows us that he rebuilt the fortifications around the land of Judah. The Bible says in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 14, he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. And so Asa rebuilt. He looked around the kingdom of Judah, and he realized that the nation's defenses needed rebuilding. He refortified the defensive posts of Judah that his grandfather Rehoboam had built. And more than rebuilding Judah's fortresses, verse 8 tells us that King Asa rebuilt his armies until he had a force of 580,000 spearmen and bowmen. And the Bible says that King Asa did this with great wisdom. His nation was at peace, but he prepared for times of war. He understood that the Lord gave him peace for that time, but he didn't take the peace for granted. He knew the time would come when enemies would attack again. May I remind you of this? The time to prepare for spiritual battle is not in the midst of spiritual battle. The time to get ready for battle is before the battle starts. That's why it's important for you every day to take time and just to suit up with the armor of God, so that when you get out in the battle, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're around people and the battle starts, that you are already ready. Could you imagine a football player getting out on the football field with no equipment on at all, and when a big tackle is coming his way, he thinks, oh my goodness, I better put on my pads and I better put on my helmet. You don't put on the defenses when the attack is coming. You get ready ahead of time, and that's what Asa did. He rebuilt. Number three, Asa relied. Asa relied. Here's what we see Asa did early in his reign. He relied on God to give him victory in battle. The attack from his enemies indeed did come. And after those 10 years of peace, Zerah, the king of the Ethiopians, came against Judah with a massive army of 1 million soldiers and 300 chariots. Remember, Asa had 580,000 soldiers. He was vastly outnumbered, but Asa relied on God to help him win the battle. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. The Bible says, and Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. Underline those words there in your Bible. We rely on you. Help us, O Lord, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Wow, those are the words of a king. What an incredible thing to have a leader of a nation who would call on God that way. We rely on you, Asa said. That Hebrew word for rely means to lean upon. It means to recline upon. It means to rest upon. Other places in the Bible use that same word to talk about leaning against a wall for support, or resting under a tree for shade. It means to place all of your weight on something. And Asa came before God and said, God, we're placing all of our weight on you. We're relying on you 100%. And sure enough, God gave them victory in response to Asa's faith. And so Asa relied. Fourthly, Asa received. Asa received. He received a strong prophetic word and a great encouragement to keep trusting the Lord from the prophet Azariah. We've already read those words in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah the prophet, and he came out to Asa and said, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you. you. It was an incredible message. Asa was reminded, if anyone seeks the Lord will be found. Now look in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. These are still words of Asa. It says, but you, or but words of the prophet Azariah to Asa. But you, Asa, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. He said, Asa, make sure you take courage. You be strong. Don't let your hands get weak, because God will reward you. And so he received this word from the prophet. He was strong. He was bolstered by that word. And Asa began a time of even greater reformation of the spiritual life of Judah. Number 5, Asa repaired. He repaired the place of worship in Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 8, as soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, he took courage and put away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah, and not only Judah, but Benjamin, also there in the south, and from the cities that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim, those areas even into Israel where he had had a victory and taken some of the territory, and he repaired the altar. Look at this. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the vestibule in the house of the Lord. He came into the city of Jerusalem, went there on the Temple Mount, and there he repaired the altar of the Lord. He repaired. And then number 6, the Bible shows us Asa risked. Asa risked. Asa's desire to please God was so great that he was willing to risk even family relationships in order to do what was right. And he had a risk to take because he knew there was someone in his kingdom who was still following after the pagan gods. And she had a great amount of influence over all the people of Judah. In fact, she was his own mother, Maacah. Now, it's hard to stand up to your mother. Anybody want to say amen to that? It's hard to stand up to your mother, but he was willing to stand up to her to do what was right. Look in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 15. The Bible says, even Maacah, his mother, King Asa, removed from being queen mother. She didn't stop being his mother, but he took her out of her position of authority. He said, you're no longer the queen mother. You no longer have a position of leadership and authority among the people of Judah. He removed her from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. Asa cut down that image, cut down the image that his mother had made, and crushed it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Asa's own mother, Maacah, had built an Asherah pole. Now, an Asherah pole was a gross thing to see. It was a phallic symbol that was sacred to the Canaanite fertility goddess Asherah. It's never easy to obey God in the face of opposition, especially when that opposition comes from your family, especially when that opposition comes from your father or your mother. But Asa courageously removed his mother from her position, took away all of her power, all of her prestige, all of her influence, because she did not honor God. What a risk. And then look in verse 17. The Bible says, but the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true all his days. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says the high places were not taken out of Israel. That refers to those false centers of worship. Now that may refer to two things. It may refer to the high places which Asa had removed, that they kept being built back up, that he'd tear them down, but they'd build them back up, and then eventually he just didn't remove them anymore. It also may indicate that Asa did not succeed in destroying the high places in Israel. Notice the Bible says significantly in verse 17, the high places were not taken out of Israel. Remember, he was not king over Israel. He was king over what? You say it real loud. Judah. And so it may have been that it's that the Bible here is talking about the northern areas in Ephraim over which Asa had authority for a time. And yet the Bible just shows us how strong idolatry can be in the hearts of people. It was impossible for him to eradicate even when he was a godly king. The high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the Bible says, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true, 100% true to God, all his days. Asa's heart never turned from the living God. He never turned to an idol and worshiped. And yet, in spite of that, there was a lapse of faith that Asa experienced. Everybody with me so far? Say amen if you are. All right, that's about two-thirds of you. Everybody still with me? Say amen if you are. All right, there you are. Here we come into number seven. Asa reverted. Asa faced continual warfare during his reign. Constantly. It never went away. After those 10 years of peace, it just kept grinding him. Border raiders sent by King Baasha of Israel constantly attempted to recapture the lands of the tribe of Benjamin north of Jerusalem. Many of the biblical accounts of those wars have been substantiated by archaeological research. Asa knew that his power came from trusting God for victory against his enemies. He had already seen that earlier on in his reign when the king of Ethiopia came against him. But the grinding, persistent fighting against King Baasha's armies eventually wore him down. And so he reverted. Let me just stop right here. How many times does Satan have to be successful in order to defeat us? Once. And he'll keep coming back. And coming back and wearing you down, because he only has to win once. You have to win every day. Now, the good news is you have the power through Jesus Christ to win every day. You have to win every day. He has to win just once. And so in the midst of all of this persistent fighting, Asa reverted. He reverted to the strategy of his father, King Abijah. King Abijah had gone to King Ben-Hadad of Syria for help. And Asa reverted and did the same thing his father had done. Look in verse 2. The Bible says, then Asa took silver. I'm in chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles, verse 2. The Bible says, then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and went to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, there is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go, break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me. And so he just came and said, I'm bringing you silver and gold. I'm asking you to enter into a treaty with me and to leave King Baasha alone and stop working with him. And as a result of his treaty with Syria, King Asa was successful in pushing back King Baasha and the forces of the northern kingdom of Israel. So it looked like he was successful. But the Lord had something to say to Asa. And so we find number 8, Asa rejected. Asa rejected the message and the messenger that God sent to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says this. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Now look in verse 9, a very famous verse of Scripture, and yet sometimes we don't understand the context of this verse. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. Now the first half of that verse is very encouraging. The second half of that verse is not encouraging at all. I have a friend, he was pastoring a church, and his church was just going through some struggles, and he was going through some struggles as the pastor of the church. They had had a very contentious business meeting one Sunday night, and later on, either that night or the next morning, a friend of his, not in that church, not someone who even knew what was going on in that church, a friend of his sent him a verse of scripture just to encourage him. He didn't know who it was. He got it as a text message. He didn't know the number. He just read 2 Chronicles 69, just the reference. And so he looked it up and it said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. And my friend said, I don't know whether that was a friend or an enemy who gave me that message. I don't know whether I'm supposed to apply the first half of it or the second half of it. The truth is, it was a friend who was just trying to encourage him. But that verse has two sides. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. But to Asa, the prophet Hanani said this, you have done foolishly in this. You've done foolishly in going to the king of Syria rather than trusting God. And from now on, you will have war. So what did Asa do with that message? He could have heard it and said, I need to get right with God. He could have heard it and said, I need to stop trusting in Syria and stop trusting in my silver and gold and start trusting in God again. He could have done that. That's not what he did. He rejected the message and the messenger. Look in verse 10. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. Why did God send a prophet to rebuke Asa? Because he loved Asa. And he was heartbroken by Asa's lack of faith. When Hanani the prophet condemned King Asa for relying on Syria rather than God, King Asa, instead of repenting, flew into a rage. He not only imprisoned Hanani, he also oppressed anyone and harmed anyone who had dared to criticize his leadership as their king. And so Asa rejected God's word. Then number 9, Asa refused. To the end of his life, he refused to call on God. As he became an older man, Asa refused to trust in God the way he had before. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. The Bible says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet. And his disease became severe. Near the end of his reign, Asa developed a serious disease of the feet. It may have been gout. It may have been diabetic lesions. We don't know. But this king, whose name meant doctor and healing, found himself with a painful and debilitating medical condition. The people of Judah believed that his illness was God's punishment for his treatment of Hanani. Still, he refused to call out to the Lord for help. Look at the end of verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. The Bible says, yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. Now, Asa was a man who knew how to call on God. He knew how to call on God when he was outnumbered nearly 2-1. He knew how to call on God, and God gave him victory. But in his pride, at the end of his life, he wouldn't do it. He would not call on God. Instead, the Bible says he sought help from physicians. Now, understand this. Asa's sin was not in seeking the help of physicians. His sin was in failing to seek the help of the Lord. When you're sick, go to the doctor, absolutely, but also go to God in prayer. Go to the great physician. One man asked his pastor, Pastor, do you believe in divine healing? The pastor asked him, is there any other kind? There's no other kind of healing but divine healing. God uses medical personnel in the process of bringing healing, but God brings the healing. When you get sick, call on the doctor and call on God. Asa refused to call on God. And then number 10, finally, Asa rested. Asa rested. He died 2 years after he contracted the foot disease. Look in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier that had been filled with various kinds of spices prepared by the perfumer's art. And they made very great fire in his honor. They had a big celebration. He was buried with full royal honors in his own prepared tomb in Jerusalem. There's no doubt. Bitter King Asa at the end. A bitter king, angry at God, refusing to look to God for help even when he needed it most. That bitter king did not live up to the potential that the young godly King Asa had promised at the beginning. The people of Judah only experienced a touch of revival because Asa did not fully turn to God. He never turned away from God. He never turned to idols. But he missed a great opportunity to turn to God. So let's move on and talk about the connection. What do we learn from King Asa? Here's what we learn. The challenge of finishing strong spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 2 says this. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. God gives us this warning. Don't ever think that you're standing so strong that you can just give up and keep on standing. When you think you're standing strong, take heed lest you fall. I want to talk to you about how to finish strong. And I'm just going to give you three very simple principles for finishing strong as we look at the life of King Asa. First of all, rejoice in past successes, but keep trusting and obeying God today. Rejoice in your past successes. Give God praise for what He's done in the past, but keep trusting and obeying God today. King Asa evidently thought that because he had relied on God in past battles and had had success, that now he could just get by on his own strength. He could get by on his own wisdom. He could make it through his own maneuvers. So when he faced King Baasha of Israel, he relied on his own strength instead of God, and he got things so wrong. No matter what your past successes have been, you have to keep trusting God and obeying God for success today. One of the things that distresses me sometimes when I talk to believers is that everything they talk about in their relationship with Jesus Christ has to do with what happened a long time ago. Is everybody still with me? It's a dangerous position to be in when the only thing you can talk about in your relationship with Jesus is what used to be. God is the God of eternity. He is the great I am. What is He doing in your life right now? No matter what your past successes have been, you have to keep trusting Him and obeying Him today. The engine in your car never stops needing gas to run. No matter how many miles that engine is gone, no matter how many country roads, desert highways, mountainous parkways, or city streets it's gone down, your engine never gets so much experience at running that it can run on its own without gas. The same thing is true in your life. You never get to the place where you can run without God. So rejoice in past successes, but keep trusting and obeying God today. Number two, respond positively to correction, not just affirmation. Everybody loves to be affirmed. Everybody loves to hear what King Asa heard when Abijah came to him and said, God has used you, God has worked, you've trusted in Him, praise the Lord. Everybody responds positively to affirmation, but if you want to finish strong, respond positively to correction, not just affirmation. And if you notice, the two prophets that approached King Asa, Abijah and then Hanani, really brought him very similar messages. Abijah said, the Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He'll be found by you. If you forsake Him, He'll forsake you. Hanani brought a very similar message. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. The same type of message. But Asa responded to one positively when he was being affirmed and then became furious when he was being corrected. Listen, a message that corrects us, though hard to hear, is good to hear. And sometimes when we've been down the road of life for a while, we start thinking, hey, I don't need any correction. I got this. I know which way to go. I know how to do this stuff. I've been down these roads before. No, learn to respond positively, both to correction and affirmation. Number three, remember that spiritual battles never stop. See, Asa's problem was he stopped fighting and the war was not over. The battles were still coming. Remember that spiritual battles never stop. Her name was Myra Runyon. She completed the 1,500 meter race for the United States in the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney, Australia. At that time, Myra was 31 years old with macular degeneration, which means that she could only see shapes and colors. She sensed when people were next to her as she ran. She had first competed in the Special Olympics, and in 2000 was her first chance to compete in the Olympics. In her preliminary race, she gave an interview. The newscaster asked her, "How do you do this? Describe what it's like to run a race you can't see." And she said this, "You know, I come around the bend in those last few meters, and I realize that I'm running toward a finish line that I can't see. It doesn't matter. I'm not slowing down for anything." I'll promise you this about every person here. Every one of us is running toward a finish line that we can't see. You don't know where the end of your race is. You may think you do. Your doctor may have given you some indication as to when it's going to be. You don't know. Some of you think you've got miles and miles and miles and miles to run, and you've got just a few yards to run. That could be true of me as well. We're running to a finish line we can't see. So what do? We keep on running. You can never see the finish line, so keep running. Remember that spiritual battles never stop. So what's the connection to Jesus, and what's the connection to his cross? The good news is this. Through the power and grace of Jesus Christ, every believer can finish well. Jude verses 24 and 25 says this. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." And we say it real loud, amen. But I want you to notice what the Bible says. Jesus is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before God. He is the one who can guarantee that you will finish strong. I told you about Elizabeth and her son John, a boy with such promise who became a sinful and angry and violent man. What happened to John? Eventually, he found himself in a place he had never imagined. He wound up working aboard a slave ship and even became a slave himself in West Africa. He was rescued by a captain sent to search for him by his father. During his 1748 voyage back to England after his rescue, a severe storm off the coast of Ireland moved John to begin reading the Bible again, that same Bible that his mother had taught him to read beginning at age 4. His mother's influence on his life from those early years never left John's mind, never left John's heart. He later wrote, "Though in the process of time I send away all the advantages of those early impressions, yet they returned again and again. And it was very long before I could wholly shake them off. And when at length the Lord opened my eyes, I found a great benefit from the recollection of them." In other words, all those things his mother had done to pour Jesus into that boy, though it looked like for years and years and years he had forgotten, he never forgot. And there came a time when God opened his eyes once again. And the rest, as they say, is history. John Newton would experience God's grace. He would become a preacher, a hymn writer, a crusader in the fight to abolish the slave trade. He later would tell his own story and the story of every Christian in his most famous song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Here's what he learned. It's never too late to finish well. A friend of mine, a man who had made heartbreaking, destructive, sinful decisions, spoke to me about what was going on in his life. And he just shook his head and he said, "Stephen, I have not finished well." And I understood his regret. I understood the hurt he was feeling. But I had to tell my friend, "Brother, you're wrong. You can't say you haven't finished well." And here's why he was wrong. He wasn't finished. He wasn't finished. God can take the brokenness of our lives. When we think we've just wrecked it and we've gone so long this way that we think it's too late, God can take our brokenness and put things back together. Even when you've done things that are devastatingly harmful, inescapably shameful, undeniably sinful, if you'll receive what God has for you, you can finish well. Asa didn't finish well because he just kept resisting up to the end. You can finish well when you turn to Jesus. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray? I'm speaking to Christians tonight. I'm speaking to those who have been saved. But I'm also speaking to those in this room who have been saved, but you know that you're not living your life the way God wants you to. You started well. Maybe in the middle you were going well, but now all of your spiritual victories are in the past tense. And you're just not experiencing God's power and God's favor and God's work in your life today. It's not too late for you to finish well. And you say, well, how do I finish well? You just come right back to Jesus. The Bible says he's able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to present you faultless before the Father. That's why he deserves all the glory in our lives. So just come to him right now and just say, Jesus, you know. Lord, you know the times that I have failed to rely on you. You know the times I've rejected your warnings. You know the times I've kept going in my own direction and refused to listen to what you were saying to me. You know all those things. And Jesus, you know where I am right now. But Lord Jesus, you also know what I can be. You know what you can do in my life if I just come to you and once again offer up my life to you and just repair those broken altars. Say, Lord, I want things to be right once again. I want my life to be right with you once again. All across this room, I believe there are believers calling out to God and just saying, Lord, help me to finish strong. Help me to finish well. Help me to stay in this race I'm running. I don't even know where the finish line is, but Lord, help me to run all the way through and be what you called me to be. In my workplace, with my family, in my church, in my school, in my neighborhood, Lord Jesus, make me what you want me to be so that I can finish well for you. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the way that through Jesus Christ, we can have the strength to finish well. And Father, I pray for those in this room tonight who have never trusted Jesus as Savior. Show them right now how much you love them, how much they need you, that tonight they might turn to Jesus and be saved. We'll give you glory and honor for all that you do, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look right at me.